When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It is Friday ahead of the fantasy weekend. Lots to get to here on the show. We'll talk some fantasy baseball. Also, big NASCAR race coming up at the Coliseum. Jim Sannis will join us and we'll break that down as well. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock here on this Friday. Next Friday, we'll, of course, be previewing the Super Bowl here on the show. But Davis, we have that 1 week off in between the games. I know our live coverage begins on Tuesday next week from Glendale. Excited for that and excited to jump into a lot of the things happening in fantasy sports today with you. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we did get, I think, probably like our first big news update yesterday as it pertains to betting on props, betting in DFS and stuff for the Super Bowl. Sounds like Mecole Hardman not going to be able to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, but Andy Reid was optimistic that both Kadarius Toney and Juju Smith-Schuster, who got injured in that conference championship game, are going to be able to play. So that's going to be my thinking about the Super Bowl for today. I sort of am putting that, you know, out of mind until Monday. And then, of course, we will be all in at that point.
Yeah, no doubt. So stay on the grid all week long next week. Our show still live 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern. And then our live coverage from, Glendale will be before and after our show. But Davis and I will be with you all week long. So make sure you stay on the grid for that. All right, here are our headlines as we begin the show here on this Friday. The Dallas Mavericks just deliver more pain to the New Orleans Pelicans, and they didn't even need Luka Doncic in the fourth quarter. He had a hard fall in this one. He was having a monster game, came out. I guess we'll get an updated status report on him today, and we certainly will see. Maybe he'll miss a game, maybe two, but this guy's just carrying Dallas every which way. Pelicans have lost 10 in a row. How about a fight last night? Dylan Brooks, Donovan Mitchell, leading to a scuffle in the Cavaliers' victory yesterday. Also, this broke. An arrest warrant was issued for Bengals running back Joe Mixon. Naturally, this will carry into the offseason. We'll see, you know, sort of how things go. It looks like this is something that happened a few weeks ago. And also, Kara Lawson says a men's basketball was used in the first half of Sunday's game against Florida State. So you talk about basketball integrity. Didn't see this one coming, but naturally, we'll go from there. All right, Davis, let's touch real quick on Luka and the injury last night, and then let's get over to Joe Mixon. And I know we'll be doing a lot of speculating here, but, you know, naturally the Bengals probably have to make a contractual decision on him too this offseason.
Well, I think Joe Mixon just made the contractual decision for himself. He will not be a Cincinnati Bengal next season. The Cincinnati Bengals can save $10 million against the cap if they remove Joe Mixon from their roster. Smudge Perine, also a free agent. So I think we'll probably have two new running backs in the backfield for Cincinnati next season. Remember, this is a team that's about to have to pay Joe Burrow. They are going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase, probably the largest contract. I imagine Ja'Marr Chase will get the largest non-quarterback contract in the history of the sport. I think he will deserve it. And they also are going to have to pay T. Higgins. Now, obviously, T is not going to make as much as Ja'Marr Chase. So Joe Mixon, you know, I mean, he played fewer snaps in the AFC Conference Championship than Perine did anyways. Joe Mixon obviously had some really nasty stuff happen in his time at the University of Oklahoma. And, you know, the police blotter does not sound particularly favorable to him. So I'm going to imagine that he sees himself, honestly, probably just not with a team next season. And the Doncic thing, sort of interesting. I mean, there's been chatter. Oh, you know, the Mavericks, they need to make a move. The Western Conference, it's so bunched up right now. Luka's not going to be content playing without a second star, yada, yada. Well, I mean, if this Luka injury is 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, I mean, they're not doing anything, right? They're not gonna make a trade for a team that is not even gonna make the play-in.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's just fascinating to think that you have arguably a top three player at worst in the NBA and struggling to do what they're doing. Pelicans was mentioned, lost their 10th game in a row in addition to that last night. So, you know, I sort of guess moving forward, Davis, the question is, we got our All-Star notifications yesterday, and, you know, everyone's talking about who's in, who's out, some positive, some negative too. But I suppose the question is, immediately after the break coming up, who does what? You know, the Lakers first and foremost, what do they do? What are some of these other teams do? You know, who is chasing Victor Wembanyama? We're going to find out real fast here coming up in a week from now, because I'm going to guess that those teams that sold their tickets for the season in the NBA are just ready to ship some guys out and try and tank. And they won't call it tanking, but try and tank for that number one pick.
Well, that's what's so bizarre about this deadline is you just look and you're like, okay, well, what teams are really going to sell? I mean, the Raptors are probably the most interesting team in the NBA because they have Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr., and OG Anunoby, who would all theoretically be available. Now, coming into the season, I mean, everyone thought the Raptors were going to win 49 games, be the sixth seed, give a team a really tough time in the playoffs. Scotty Barnes will get a little bit better. It just hasn't happened, right? But if, Craig, if Monday morning we're coming in and OG Anunoby has been traded for two first-round picks and a swap and something to the Clippers or the Blazers or whoever, then I think we could have a totally wild deadline. Honestly, everyone's just waiting to see what the Raptors do at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, lots of intrigue with the National Basketball Association. By the way, the NHL on the All-Star break this weekend. This is All-Star weekend happening, actually, not far from me in Sunrise, Florida, and on Fort Lauderdale Beach, too. Some video coming out of there yesterday. A lot of fun. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to dive into some average draft position with some off-season moves in the National Fantasy Baseball Championships. Jacob DeGrom goes from the Big Apple to Arlington, Texas. What will that look like in 2023? DeGrom, we'll touch on that next. So stay with us here on Fantasy Sports Today, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, along with Davis Matic, with you here on the show. It is February. That means it's fantasy baseball time. And naturally, right after the Super Bowl, our coverage goes fast and furious. Davis and I will be previewing one team every single day. We'll take a look at average draft position all the way through spring training and all the way through your draft coming up for opening day. Looking forward to doing that with you, Davis. But today, here on the show, more players changing locations in fantasy. We're going to identify a couple of pitchers today. We'll talk about that, and also a player that heads to my neck of the woods here in South Florida with the Miami Marlins. So let's get started here, Davis. Arguably, I would say outside of Clayton Kershaw, I got to put Kershaw one. The second best pitcher outside of Clayton Kershaw for fantasy purposes. You can make the argument it's been Verlander. He's missed a couple years and some others. Jacob DeGrom, when he's on the mound, he's the best, right? Like, he is the best. There's just, it's hard to argue it. You look at his numbers, they're just astronomical. But being healthy has always been the key for him. He left New York. He went to Texas. Basically, his decision. Didn't seem like he was particularly interested, Davis, in going back to the Mets for whatever reason. His ADP is a second round. Again, remember, the NFBC is going to bump up these pitchers big time. It happens every single year. He's gone as high as 15 in some drafts, but I think the key number here, Davis, look, is the lowest he has gone is late fourth round. So, I mean, in a very heavy pitcher-centric draft, DeGrom is not going to slip very far. There's not going to be much of a discount on him. And you know, I kind of believe this guy's got a lot to prove this year. I feel like this is one of those years where the exit wasn't really good for him with New York. There was a lot of negativity in the media going at him. He wasn't around. He wasn't friendly, whatever. I mean, I don't know. The guy's so darn good. 25 starts of him, even if it's not 30, Davis, probably makes him the number one pitcher in fantasy this year. Just can he get the 25? That's the key.
Yeah, well, he has not started that number of games since 2019. So we're talking about a four-year break. He has not been over 90 innings pitched since 2019. He is entering into his age 35 season. He is changing teams from a team, obviously, that knew him best. And by the way, has no shortage of money to spend. Steve Cohen does not care, man. Steve Cohen makes like $2 billion a year. I think I saw yesterday his estimated net worth is $17 billion. Jacob DeGrom's contract just does not matter to Steve Cohen in any way. If he thought that the best possible thing for the New York Mets winning a World Series was having Jacob DeGrom on the roster, they probably would have kept him. DeGrom, to me, is honestly an example of why fantasy baseball is such a difficult balancing act. Because you're right, Craig. I mean, the guy is absolutely unbelievable. Every projection system, if you just plugged him in for 35 starts, is going to have him as far and away the number one pitcher in fantasy baseball. Yep. The issue being losing your second round pick, losing your third round pick in fantasy baseball. You really can't make up for it, especially when they're a pitcher, because you kind of build the whole team around the idea that this guy is going to stabilize your ratios. This guy is going to give you elite strikeouts. This guy's going to give you 20 wins. And missing on that is just absolutely horrible. Now, Craig, you know me. I love risk. I love, you know, taking Mondesi, taking these guys with injury risk, but huge statistical upside. And I mean, honestly, I think that this is like a discounted price for him. Because if I told you, let's say 170 innings, what is he the fifth pick? Probably you think so. I think you just got to take him. Honestly, I do.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's what everyone has said the last few years, and the result has not been there. I think that's kind of the problem. But, you know, I got to feel like he's got to feel some obligation too to try and pitch as much as he can this year. I'll be very, very curious to see, maybe the most curious of any pitcher going into the season, because the guy to me is the best when he's on the mound. And you ask other players around the league, Davis, and they say, who's the toughest? Jacob DeGrom. Other pitchers, who do you like the most? Jacob DeGrom. It's always him. Weird exit from New York, that's for sure. Okay, Kansas City Royals, your team, they announced 10 minutes ago, Davis, they're wearing powder blues on opening day, the old 80s uniform, so that warms my heart a little bit. What didn't warm my heart is them signing Aroldis Chapman. Don't understand this one at all. Aroldis Chapman's ADP, outside draftable, 400. He's gone as high as 144. He's gone as low as just not even on the map. He's gone as low as players that just don't even factor in. Now, for reference, Aroldis Chapman, had he been a clean player in terms of not getting in any trouble, Davis, over the last 10, 15 years with no issues and no attitude and anything else, Hall of Fame stats.
Hall of Famer,
pitcher. Hall of Famer. They're Hall of Fame stats, no question, but he won't sniff it. And look, it reared its head last year. Yankees came down to the postseason, Davis. Everybody shows up for the final workout. Then they determine who gets on the roster. Chapman's like, am I on it? They're like, I don't know. Show up. He's like, nah, I'm out. Who does that? I don't know. He does that. So he had trouble signing with anybody in the offseason. The Royals are the team that eventually paid the money. This kid Scott Barlow, who they have as closer, I love that guy. I mean, I don't even understand the signing, to be honest with you. But I guess the only thing that I can think of here, Davis, is that equity is important at the trade deadline. Royals are going to be sellers, most likely, at the trade deadline. I think they'll be better, but they'll probably still be sellers. And if Chapman shows up, regardless of what the situation is, and can give you, you know, a 20% bump above where he was last year, which wasn't very good with the Yankees, Chapman's going to get a lot back for Kansas City come August. But the converse of that is he could just be done. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't even need my analysis here. You solved it. Like, they signed him to have him on the roster for 5 months, trade him away for whatever they can get. And, you know, I mean, like, it's not, this is just kind of the annoying stuff that the Kansas City Royals do. It's like, they don't really seem to have a plan. It's all short-term stuff, obviously. And the whole, like, culture inside the Royals, it's like, all seems very bizarre. the stuff they have going on there. But what would be the weirdest thing would be, you would imagine they're probably just going to have him close games because that's going to be best for his trade value.
I don't
think so. But that, you don't, well, I mean, that if whoever took him at 144 in the NFBC definitely thought that he was going to be closing games, or I don't know, maybe they think he's going to have good ratios or whatever. But yeah, I mean, this is all about getting $5 million and a high A prospect in August, and we'll see if they get it. I mean, I'm not going to take any of this guy because I just don't. I think it's probably more likely he gets hurt and we just never see him again. That feels way more likely to me.
Their closers, Barlow was one of the best guys in the American League last year. Really good close. Maybe they don't believe in Barlow 100%. That's possible. The guy, you know, look, Barlow has not been Mariano Rivera for 10 years. I get that, but I thought he was really effective using a couple of pitches last year, but what do I know? All right, let's end with the Marlins signing of Gene Segura. Played second base for the majority of his career. This year he's playing third for the Marlins. His ADP, 240. You know, basically 161 highest he's going to go. Davis, Segura at this stage of his career, not really sure where the steals are. He's not going to hurt you anywhere. And so I think Segura for me, Davis, is one of those guys where you kind of have your team more or less set. Now you're looking for your middle infielder, your corner infielder, your utility guy, and Segura's staring at you and you're like, all right, the guy's not going to hurt me. You don't love clicking the button, but that's who he is.
Yeah, I mean, he is like a, I think, you know, he's a perfectly cromulent middle infielder for you to take here. He's going to get, you know, 13 home runs, maybe 5 steals, 260, you know, he'll have corner and middle infield eligibility. He very rarely gets hurt. You know, he plays a ton, but it's just like no one's going into their draft like, man, cannot wait to take Gene Segura. This guy's going to solve it all for me.
Yeah, no, he's the guy that, you know, there's 30 seconds on the clock, Davis, on the fast draft, you know, not on the slow, on the fat. And you're like, okay, I don't like any of these guys. Oh, do I take this up? Gene Segura, hey, you know, he could be good, you know, probably not going to be as good as you think. But solid pick. And by the way, probably batting at the top of the Marlins lineup this year, I would guess. You know, definitely will have a shot to score more runs this year. Although that lineup in Philly was great last year, too. Let's not get it twisted. All right, Jim Sanis, coming up next, we will touch on the upcoming NASCAR race this weekend in Southern California as we return next right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Those of you playing Daily Fantasy, pull your app out because we're going to give you some of the lineup construction next in Daily Fantasy on FanDuel. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On next week's show, we'll have a daily fantasy preview, of course, of the big game of the Super Bowl. We'll pick somebody in the captain spot. I know everybody's playing DFS for the last time in the NFL next week. So Jim Sanis will be back with us one more time before the football season ends. But this week on the show, for those of you who have been loyal watchers of this show for many years, you know that Jim Sanis loves his NASCAR. And Jim and I have gone back and forth on NASCAR for years here on this show. So we're happy to bring it back with you for one of the bigger races, I think, on the circuit this week. Jim, thanks again for coming on the show with Davis and I. How are you?
I am ecstatic whenever I get a chance to talk NASCAR. I will take it every time you want to let me on to talk some NASCAR, Craig. I am more than happy to do so. Maybe we can convince Davis to put on a race this year. I don't know. It might take some convincing, but I'm willing to give it a shot at least.
Yeah, maybe if one of the drivers was last named Kelsey, we'd have a shot. But no, unfortunately, I don't
I'd be in for that. Sure.
Yeah. He would be in for that. All right. So now for those unfamiliar, this is a really cool story for this week. And I'm not just making it up because we're doing a live show and I want people to keep watching because it's NASCAR. The reason is last year, Jim, they have this race at the Coliseum. They're like, yeah, we're going to turn the football Coliseum into a track. And there was a lot of skepticism in Los Angeles. I know that there were people, oh, this isn't going to work. Like somehow this place was packed with more people than they even got at a football game. In addition to that, like all the kids from all the colleges were there, like all of I guess drinking was open and it just was like a huge party last year at the Coliseum. I believe they called it the Clash at the Coliseum. So it was so successful that they're talking about now doing this every single year, which would include this weekend. I don't know if I summarized last year correctly, but I remember hearing about this going, oh, this is definitely not going to work. And it was a huge success.
I was shocked. I thought that with these cars and such a small venue, I never thought it would work, but it actually did. It was kind of like, it was kind of a mess in the sense that they had like a last chance qualifier, which they'll have again this year. And there was a ton of beating and banging. Like dudes were just sending it, seeing what happens, which fine, you know, I get it. But it was like good chaos is it, I think the way I would describe it. So they're running it back for again this year. It's a unique format. They have heat races before the race. So you qualifies, like you could see Kyle Larson not qualify for this race. That's the way they're running things. So it's going to be pretty chaotic, but in a good way. And I think that that can lead to a lot of fun for DFS and just like from a general viewing perspective too.
Yeah, some people joke that they should call it the crash at the Coliseum as opposed to the clash at the Coliseum. I've heard that one too with the short track. All right, so pricing though, honestly, not all that different from what we normally see. So this is a good point that Jim makes because maybe one of these guys will be out at some point, but Chase Elliott is right at the top. He's priced at 13,000 this week, and Kyle Larson, so those are no surprises. Kyle Busch is 12,500. Joey Logano is 12,500. Christopher Bell is among the leaders in terms of pricing this year on pretty much all the tournaments. He is 12,000. That's a change from last year. Denny Hamlin was usually at the top last year. Still among the top, he is at 12,000. All right, so let's build a lineup. Is it which one of these guys do you trust, or is it just basically taking a chance on just some catastrophe happening? I don't want to use that. Maybe that's a bad word. A crash happening.
Right. I think the big thing is you need a game plan around your schedule for Sunday, which is an odd thing for NASCAR because typically the field is set on Saturday. The race is on Sunday, so you've got 24 hours, whatever, to fill out your lineup. This weekend, you've got 1 hour between the end of the last chance qualifier and when this race starts. So honestly, ask yourself, am I around that hour? Because if you want to fill out a good lineup, you need to be around that hour because, like I said, Kyle Larson might not qualify. If he doesn't advance in the last chance qualifier, if he wrecks during his heat race, he might not even be in the field, which means he's getting you 0 points. So before you even bother thinking about drivers, ask yourself, will I be around between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday? If you're not, I'd skip it. Honestly, I love NASCAR, and but I think like from a bankroll management perspective, if you're not around, skip it. Come back for Daytona. You got a lot more time there. We'll talk to you then. But if you have time between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, I think that you want to watch those heat races if you can, see who qualifies where. Because for this race last year, we saw passing was pretty tough during the main event. You saw Kyle Busch and Joey Logano kind of dominate most of that race, and they qualified up front. So I want to put a lot of stock in where drivers qualify. If a driver is fast during qualifying on Sunday or on Saturday, runs well in his heat race on Sunday, starts up front, they're going to have lap led upside. In this race, there are 150 laps in the main event, which means there are 15 FanDuel points available for laps led across the race. I'd expect probably 2, maybe 3 drivers to monopolize most of those laps led, and they're probably going to come from the front of the field. Now, there will be a break between the first 75 laps and the second 75 laps, which will bunch the field back up. So it might not be just one driver, but I think what you're going to want to do, Craig, is make sure you have 2 guys at the front who can lead laps. Then you can allow yourself to get some place differential guys after that. Like maybe someone you like doesn't do well in the heat race, qualifies poorly, they're starting towards the back. They could get place differential because there'll be some chaos. It is not a super, super short race. You can still work your way through the field. There'll be crashes and stuff like that. So I would get your 2 dominators, then get guys towards the back. As far as guys who might fit that approach, I think the one I want to keep a really close eye on is Ryan Blaney. Blaney's salary comes in 11.5 for this race. And I think that's a bit low for a guy who was tremendous on short flat tracks last year. He could have won both Phoenix races, kind of let Joey Logano win the second one because Logano is in championship contention, whereas Blaney was not, being a good teammate there. And the first Phoenix race had a very good car, ran well in both Martinsville races, actually was good in Richmond, which is a track where he's typically pretty bad. So Blaney, I think, is pretty undersalaried at 11.5. If he were to be out towards the front, I think he'd be a great guy to get you some salary savings while still getting you some laps led upside. As far as some lower salary guys who I think do fit the mold for this week, I have a lot of interest in Eric Almirola. Comes in at $7,000. He is a guy who is typically good on these short flat tracks. Didn't do a whole lot here last year, but broadly like him, broadly like his team, Stewart Haas Racing. Kevin Harvick is up there. It's his last year. I'm not sure what his adaptability is for an older track, and not to be like ageist, but a little bit skeptical of that. So if Harvick shows me anything during qualifying, practice, the heat races, I'll buy in at 95. But I think if not, I'm okay with Eric Almirola too, his teammate, down at $7,000.
All right, let's pull up that graphic, by the way, of the second tier of pricing here. As Jim mentioned, Ryan Blaney's at 11,500, Byron at 11, Ross Chastain at 10,500, Reddick 10, Harvick 9,500. I'm going to focus on him. And Truex Jr., whose pricing seems down from where it was a year ago, he's at 9,500 going into the race. All right, let's go back to Harvick here for a minute. He announced he's retiring after the year. Jim, is the Daytona, is it 2 weeks from Sunday? Is that correct?
Or is it it's a week after Super Bowl. So you have qualifying is, I think, on Wednesday, and then the qualifying races are on Thursday. So field to be set Thursday. So when we talk Friday, if we're talking that week, we'll be able to talk about, like, actually where guys are starting, which is so big for NASCAR DFS.
Yeah, so let's go to Harvick here for a minute. Where do you kind of see his legacy ending here? Because this is going to be his, when you say last ride in sports, it doesn't count. It does in NASCAR, because this season will be his last ride. Hall of Famer for sure, no question. I just wonder if he's worth a dart throw, not in this one, but like the Daytona in a couple of weeks, knowing it's his last one.
I don't know if it's a dart throw, because I already bet it, Craig. I actually bet Harvick to win the Daytona 500. I'm showing value on him there. I'm very okay betting him at super speedways. He's shown that he can still be consistent. He is around towards the end. He is okay kind of hanging out in the back and making sure he is around at the end of the race. So I think that the Fords in general this year are a team that I want to buy. They're always good on super speedways because their bumpers match up well. I know it's a super stupid thing to talk about, but like they do match up well, and that does matter in super speedways. So I tend to be on Fords there, but also they're getting a new nose this year, which could complicate the bump drafting factor, but I think it's going to make them a little bit faster than what they were last year. We saw Stewart Haas Racing make gains towards the end of last year. Same thing with Penske. Is obviously Logano ran better at the mile and a half in the playoffs than he did during the regular season than won in Phoenix as well. So Logano surged, Penske surged in general, Stewart Haas Racing surged, and now they get a new nose. I think Fords are worth buying into, so I bet Harvick. I also bet a couple longer shot Fords. Zane Smith might not qualify for the Daytona 500, but he was 250-1. Typically, I view that as being a stupid bet, but I've actually got his win odds above 1%. So 250-1, higher than 1% for me. That's actually a pretty decent edge. And also Todd Gilliland, I think, is undervalued. Not at FanDuel, he's 100-1 there, but like you can get him at 150. So I'm on a lot of Fords, Craig, and that does actually include Harvick at FanDuel for this week. So I really hope he goes out on a high note for his final year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jim. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. Really appreciate the participation. I'm sure we will talk next week before the Super Bowl, and then it is on to greener pastures on the track, on the baseball field, of course, golf as well. Thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Looking forward to it. It's a fun time to be a sports fan, for sure, with Super Bowl and 500 just around the corner. It's a blast for sure.
Definitely so. All right, Jim Sandis, of course, of FanDuel and NumberFire, with us here on the show, talking a little DFS NASCAR. Davis, let's go back to you here real quick for a minute. The Dolphins make it official. Vic Fangio going to be the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's decided on the Miami Dolphins, which was speculated but not made official, but looks like it will be official today.
Well, sort of interesting, right? Because the rumor mill was that Vic Fangio going back to the Denver Broncos with Sean Payton, the super team. So pretty interesting to me. I don't know. The Denver Broncos, man. I think we might have a shipwreck out there in the mountains. I'm hoping I'm wrong, because it's more fun for more good teams to exist for fantasy football. But it feels like this is the first step that things might be awry there in that organization.
Well, Sean Payton, Vic Fangio, two storied coaches. Going for the money or going for the win? We're going for the money, that's for sure. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. We got Fantasy Reality coming up and the Sports Grid 60 early line coming up, top of the hour, noon Eastern. I'm back with you at 2:00 Eastern for our Friday edition of Newswire. So stay on the grid for that, as we have plenty more to come here on the show. We'll talk a little bit about the skills challenge in the Pro Bowl yesterday. Some funny comments coming out from some different players. Derek Carr in particular. We'll have that for you next. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back with our Super Bowl coverage getting ready to kick off. You may want to download Twitter if you have, probably haven't already, but if you don't, follow us at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, all kinds of fun things happening starting Tuesday of next week. But hey, get a head start on this. Download it right now. Create a username account. Follow Davis on Twitter. Follow SportsGrid, SportsGrid TV if you want to follow me. You can do that as well. Hey, Davis, news yesterday in the NFL from a couple of quarterbacks. I don't know if it's news or not, but two little pieces of information. One coming from Derek Carr, who took a nice little shot at the Las Vegas Raiders at the Pro Bowl festivities, saying, you know, it's not as hot as it was in Vegas. I don't know. I couldn't even understand what he was talking about. Basically, just taking a shot at the Raiders. I saw that. And then the other one was Aaron Rodgers getting ready to tee off at Pebble Beach. And one of the announcers asking him where he's going to go next year. And he said, not San Fran. So, hey, we can eliminate them, I guess, from the equation, right? Or can we? Do we trust Aaron Rodgers?
I don't trust Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't trust Aaron Rodgers at all. Rodgers would just say anything. Like, Rodgers probably in his head was like, this is the funniest thing I could say right now. You know, he's like, what can I do that's going to have people chuckle and laugh? What's going to have people tweet about me? What's going to have... how can I, Aaron Rodgers, lead ESPN? I can say I'm not going to San Francisco because he knows, right? These guys read Twitter. These guys read the blogs. They know what people are saying about them. And the Derek Carr quote, pretty funny too. Basically, he's like crushing this competition is the gist of what's going on. He's like all these skills. He's doing it all perfectly. And the ESPN guy asks him like, oh, have you ever been this hot before? And he's like, oh, I've never been this hot in Las Vegas before. That's why I'm leaving. So two pretty good bits from our quarterbacks there. But yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers putting around at Pebble Beach saying I'm not going to San Francisco, I don't think that disqualifies him from going to San Francisco if he changes his mind 2 weeks later.
Yeah, not somebody that I fully trust with that sort of stuff, but certainly we will see. Although the 49ers sounded like they have a plan, at least going into the offseason. Xing Jimmy Garoppolo off the spreadsheet and saying it's going to be Purdy or Lance pretty much, but we will see. All right, time now for some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, speaking of the Pro Bowl, festivities got underway yesterday. Social media posting different clips of interviews. I think there was dodgeball, I think. Not sure. Does that answer the question already for me? I don't know. Maybe it does. Fantasy or reality? You enjoyed the NFL Skills Challenges on Thursday night.
No. I didn't watch this. I didn't even know, Craig, I didn't even know this was happening. I mean, I think probably you'd have to say I'm in like the top 10% of people who should know that this is happening, who should be aware of what's going on, who should roughly care about any of this. And I got nothing. I don't know what channel this was on. The only thing I know about the Pro Bowl is that Tyler Huntley is for some reason involved and that Trevor Lawrence was the fifth alternate behind Tyler Huntley, who is the fourth alternate. That's all. And also that Austin Eckler was not named to the Pro Bowl somehow. Like in some context, Austin Eckler, who was the best running back in football this year, I guess maybe other than McCaffrey, did not make the Pro Bowl. I mean, that seems insane. But yeah, I didn't watch this, didn't enjoy it. I mean, what's the point, man? What's the point?
Yeah, I did not see a second of it, saw clips, went right by them. Twitter just right now just stinks. Like, I mean, it's like, I don't even know what's going on. Every time I go on there, I'm seeing the same people tweeting. I'm not even following these people. And why? Did I click on them before or something? I don't even know. Like, how do they know my algorithm? I don't think I did. So then I mute and then somehow somebody else pops up and now I'm seeing that person all the time. I don't understand how Twitter is working right now. I used to just like seeing things that I, people I follow. I don't know about you, but like there's these other sites like, There's just one site I want to say that it keeps popping up on my feed. I must read the stories. This Daily Loud. I don't know what it is, but it's like the stupidest, craziest stories ever. And I don't recall even clicking them, but like I'm seeing fights all the time and things like that. I'm not even watching the video, so I mute that one. I mute this one. I'm going to mute the Pro Bowl fantasy. I'm not watching any 1 second of the Pro Bowl this weekend. I'd rather watch what's going on at Pebble Beach yesterday or moving forward. All right, we talked about the All-Star game yesterday, and a lot of people, it seemed to be excited. I did not hear a lot of discourse or see a lot of discourse on television or on social media about the All-Star game. First time in a while, it feels like they, for the most part, they got a lot of it right. Maybe I'm wrong. You'll tell me. I could be way off. How about Jalen Brunson, though? That's the one name that's popping up today that he did not make the All-Star team, or at least for now. Maybe there was an injury. They'll put him on there. Fantasy or reality, Jalen Brunson was the biggest All-Star snub from the Knicks this season.
So I don't actually think that this is the case. I think that the biggest snub is actually Pascal Siakam in Eastern Conference, because if I'm looking at the Eastern, well, and also, you know, again, it kind of depends on what is your criteria for an All-Star. Do you say I'm strictly voting for the guy who has been the best for the last 4 months, or do you also include like body of work? Like I just want the 12 best players in each conference. And I tend to go a little bit more that way. But for me, I'm looking at the roster and I'm going, okay, DeMar DeRozan, you could make an argument, but Brunson is probably not better than him. Jaylen Brown, no argument. Jaylen Brown way better than Jalen Brunson. Jrue Holiday, no argument, way, way better than Jaylen Brunson. Tyrese Halliburton, no argument, way, way better than Jalen Brunson. So I don't really see an argument here, but I'm looking at Bam Adebayo. I'm looking at Julius Randle. I'm like, I would way rather have Pascal Siakam on my NBA team than Julius Randle for sure. Now Bam Adebayo is fantastic. And, you know, there are some Western Conference guys who got, it's not like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is one of the 10 best players in the NBA. I don't think anyone would make an argument otherwise. He didn't make it because of games played, but that Anthony Davis probably the biggest snub to me.
Yeah, that's mine. So I'm going to say fantasy. You know, the thing is with Davis is that the other problem is too, this is what I have a problem with Davis, is that inevitably I understand when there are bonuses for this sort of thing. And so indeed, if Jalen Brunson had, let's say, a 50K kicker for making the All-Star team and he didn't, this really stinks because yeah, look, 50,000 is 50,000, even for these guys. That's for sure. But we want to see the biggest stars play in this stuff. And I understand that it's important to some, especially for a player like this. But inevitably, this is a ceremonial game. I still feel like Brunson will end up on the team somehow. I will say fantasy. Davis was the one that stuck out to me. I want to see that guy play. I want to see him aside from LeBron James, still one of the great players in the National Basketball Association. This reminds me of, you know, them choosing years ago, I think, like, not when Carmelo was playing for Portland or Houston, but just before that, he was still good enough to be on the team. So they were like, I probably should have made it at the end of his career. I totally agree with that stuff. I would have rather seen Carmelo play than some of the other guys that did get on the All-Star team at the end of his career. So I will say fantasy. All right. I don't know if, well, Davis said he has not watched The Last of Us yet, but there was a really good episode, the third episode of The Last of Us on HBO, which aired this past Sunday. I ended up watching it Monday. Very funny actor and good series actor too, apparently. Nick Offerman was on the episode and he played a very big role for that episode. Just basically, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin it, but he was a big part of it. Let's just say that played a survivalist. How about that? He talked about how this show, Davis, has come from a video game of which I've never played before, so I wouldn't know. But he said that he never played the game in an interview because he was playing this game online, another game that I've never played. But he said that he played it too much. He got so addicted, it took a year off his life, he said. He was like, I'm never going to play video games again. I've shut them down. So it's Banjo-Kazooie, I think, is the name of this. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. Fantasy or reality, Davis, you played that game specifically, this one. Banjo, I don't even know. I'm getting the name wrong. You do the last one if you've heard of it.
Banjo-Kazooie, yeah, I have played this. I've played a lot of these. I played a lot of these classic sort of Nintendo games. I believe this is also one that got brought back, that they came out originally in 1998, and I believe they have re-released this on Xbox Live. So if you have the Xbox Live subscription, you can download this for free. Yeah, it was a platformer, you know, a little action adventure game, pretty fun. The graphics really remind me of another game I played a lot growing up, Crash Bandicoot. That I think that one was even more popular. Crash Bandicoot, Crash Team Racing, all of those games were always pretty fun. But you know, I totally relate to Mr. Offerman. We have all, well, I guess not all of us, but I definitely have lost like way too much time with video games. Football Manager is the one that really gets me. When I get in a run of playing a lot of Football Manager, it's just like 3 hours will be gone, and I'll be like, oh my god, I've just been on my laptop for 3 hours. I haven't done anything. I haven't moved. I haven't cooked dinner. So I definitely relate with Mr. Offerman on that one.
Yeah. So for me, I can relate to one game that I did play. I'm gonna say, going back 18 to 20 years ago, I'm gonna say was the game. I remember it very well, Davis, because a lot of my buddies were playing it, and I like refused to play it. I remember going over their houses. I believe I was kind of single at the time, but as a young adult, and seeing them play this game, Medal of Honor, and thought to myself, I'm never going to play this game. I'm never going to get into it. Meanwhile, I was playing this game until like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. This single shooter is like, I couldn't wait to get in these games where there was just me and one other, and I had the sniper, and I'm like looking for the guy, you know? Oh my gosh, you're right. I wasted way too much time, and then I swore off the games after that. I'll play my son in MLB The Show or somewhere along those lines, but no, I have not played Banjo-Kazooie. How about Medal of Honor? You ever played? Does that go before you were interested in games?
No, I just, maybe this says something about me. I just played a lot of video games growing up. Yeah, I played Medal of Honor. What's interesting though is, Craig's, I'm all these shooting games, all the Call of Duty, Halo, and now kids play like Fortnite and stuff. I'm bad at all these games. I'm bad at all these, quick Twitch games where you have you're like, your response time and your thought time is in like milliseconds. I'm really bad at these. Like I get, and I actually was not great at MLB The Show either, because of the reaction time required, you know, to get a hit. Your reaction time has got to be so good, especially if you're playing online. So like a lot of these games where it's like, you know, millisecond reactions, I'm actually not any good at them.
Understood. Yeah. Well, for me, games are over except for those baseball games. That's for sure. All right, we got to take a quick time out here on the show. Coming up next, it's time for us to do a little Sports Grid 60 and then say so long, because coming up, it is time for us to turn it over to the early line at the top of the hour. And then at 2 o'clock Eastern, we've got Newswire, so make sure you stay on the grid for that, as we've got Warren Sharp on the show and a whole lot more as we get you ready for the big weekend, of course, every weekend in sports wagering. As a one final reminder, folks, you want to keep it here all next week. It's time for our Super Bowl coverage to kick off. It's All Starts Tuesday from Glendale, Arizona. All of our hosts will be out there. Ben Stevens, you know, Kevin Walsh, Donnie, you know, Scott Farrell, Gabe Morency, Cam. Everyone will be out there next week. Looking forward to the coverage. We'll be right back. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This time next week, Davis and I will pick the winner of the Super Bowl, but we still have a week to go before we get there. So let's turn it over to Davis as he wraps us up with today's Sports Grid 60.
Yeah, I mean, to me, feels like we should have a marquee sporting event this weekend, right? Feels like a big miss by the NHL, by the NBA, by professional golf. Like, we should have something, right? This Saturday afternoon, this Sunday afternoon. Why are we not having these leagues taking advantage of the fact that their largest competitor is unavailable? You know, shouldn't there be Sunday on ABC, you know, LeBron versus, like, you know, Lakers box or something. Or how about, like, the match 8 or whatever? You know, we got these guys. Or how about the PGA use some of this extra money they've added to the player pool and have people care about the Pebble Beach Pro-Am? And people love Pebble Beach, right? It's one of the few golf courses people can name. I don't know. It just feels lame that everyone sort of is just like, well, we have this weekend off from sports. Can't wait for the Super Bowl. Something should be happening this weekend. We should be filling it up.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of the calm before the storm for me. Baseball starts. I'll take a slow weekend this weekend, honestly, Davis. Usually I don't, but I'm going to eat this one up for sure. All right, there have been reports that Tom Brady is not going to broadcast the Super Bowl, and as he shouldn't. It should be Greg Olson. It should be Kevin Burkhardt, and that's the end of the story. But I got to tell you, Davis, when I see the pregame show, I think Tom Brady's going to be sitting up there doing something for Fox right before that game. I do not see a scenario where they would not take full advantage of this. Remember, Fox does not broadcast the Super Bowl every year. They'll do it this year. CBS, I'm sure, will do it the following year. NBC will do it the year after that. And then it goes back to Fox. Brady will be like 3 years into his contract at that point. I expect something to come from Tom Brady Super Bowl Sunday in Glendale, but that's just me. That'll do it for our show. Thanks to Jim Sanis, our producers, LTN. Of course, for Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be right back with you here Monday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. See you then.